真っ白な景色に今誘われて僕は行くよまだ見ぬ世界へ。
Hey everybody, welcome to Thursday, May 9th JumpCast, the only manga podcast to officially announce our Kickstarter donation tiers here, live. If you donate $1,000, you get to be the person that edits and uploads the JumpCast every week. For $2,000, I will make someone else do it. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Emerson Pugh.
So when do I get my cut?
Never? All that stuff is going towards the production, which basically means keeping me happy.
Yeah. So you know, we should get a once we get to certain tiers, you should start giving slices to the rest of us, right?
Stretch goal will buy Greg a sandwich. Stretch goal will give Emerson a better microphone, not a good one, but a better one.
I see how it is.
That was cold.
Yeah. We still hear his pants, and that's why we love him, for his pants.
You just want to take his pants, don't you?
I guess. How much are they worth? Basically, we have to start making money on this thing. Because now that podcasts are monetized, I've seen the golden light and I want to go through.
What's it up to and how long now?
Like 65,000 and fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them, really. Like, I actually got into a fight with Gabe on Twitter.
I saw that. It was funny. He basically ignored you while you showed him lots of tracings.
Yes. which we have to thank Michael Mew for originally pointing out.
We don't speak that name here.
Oh, right. He got fired.
Not after last week. We're not endorsing pornography on the JumpCast. So moving on.
You're just endorsing drunk people, basically, right?
Yeah. Emerson was a lackey.
It wasn't my fault. I was drunk. He took advantage of me, you know.
It was a brown shirt and all of this.
Show us on the podcast where he touched you.
Here at 5:23, timestamp.
It was a little later.
All right, so we need things to go through. House cleaning?
A little bit. Just the usual stuff. Hungry Joker got the axe this week. So last chapter, if you were following it, I'm sorry. I don't think any of us cared at this point, so whatever.
Wasn't that the one you were saying was getting better and they just started an arc?
I didn't say it was getting better. There's one or two people I know who were reading it who were saying that it was getting improved and that it had just started an arc. But then I think that Mike had been reading it a little bit and mentioned that they were doing something where everybody was coming out and was doing their like ultimate moves and whatnot. So I think that that's when we assumed that, yeah, it was done.
Has there been a traditional shonen battle manga in the past year and a half, 2 years that's actually succeeded?
I don't think so. World Trigger looks to be doing the best, but it's starting to slip now, too.
Yeah, it seems like the market's kind of leaving that idea behind.
Or is already oversaturated with the ones that are just sticking around. So we have to, like, you have to let somebody retire before you can move on up.
Maybe when Naruto gets the axe, then, or not the axe, I guess, walking away in the sunset, then something new will take its place.
I don't know. I don't think we can ever return to the idea of, you know, like, Dragon Ball fight manga.
Well, the thing to keep in mind is each ballot that gets sent in, you can only vote for three things. So if you have a person who likes battle manga, they're going to vote for One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, or Beals, or, you know, something else like that. So if you have more than three of something in a specific genre, then they're all fighting over the same votes. So breaking into that requires something special.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Bleach and Naruto both leave. So we'll see. Maybe we're not going to get a traditional battle manga anymore, but I think we're probably going to get something closer to Assassination Classroom, with occasionally a battle manga, more often something else.
Well, I'd see something more along the lines of Toriko, which is a battle manga, but a very specific themed type battle manga.
Yeah.
My theory is that Beelzebub will just jump up in the ratings.
I don't know about that.
I, you know, with nothing else, they might as well.
I could see it step. I could see it benefiting from the retirement of one of the major ones, but
I don't think it's gonna ever hit that level of top tier Shonen Jump pillar like Naruto and One Piece.
Fair point.
Right.
All right, that would have been a good transition, but we need to talk about Soul Hackers first. Our Soul.
Well, yeah, it's the new one. It's Soul Catchers, I believe is what it
Catchers.
Is. With
Soul Hackers.
With
the
S in a parentheses for whatever reason. I don't know whether that's a just we're not sure with the translation or if that's the actual name. And I can't seem to find anything about this anywhere. Like, I can't find the raw. I can't find a summary of what it's like. So.
Didn't we see, like, a random page of this a couple of weeks ago?
Well, I think we saw a couple of the characters, because they showed the preview thing with a couple of the characters, and I believe it was, you know, your typical high school teenage girl sort of things.
Great.
And then we talked about what the artist has done previously. I could find some stuff on that, but...
Maybe it's a manga about making soul catchers.
You mean the, you know, Native
Dream
American
catchers?
Things?
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Or actually, no. There's a thing called a soul catcher, actually. I just wikied it. Pacific Northwest Shaman.
Maybe that's what
I'm going to guess it's not that. Just going to go out on a limb.
Though if it were, that would be interesting.
Probably not. That sounds kind of boring, but...
I don't know, it would be interesting in its differentness.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right, so speaking of being different, Beelzebub picks up where it left off 2 weeks ago? Yeah, because last week was Golden Week.
Yeah.
Where Himikawa had defeated Tojo.
And then with... the Pompadours spring up like mushrooms.
Yeah, all the his entire gang, which appears to have a preschooler as well, is now wearing Pompadours.
Well, it sounds like all of the minor gangs basically decided to
follow Himikawa.
Yeah.
There's a nice pun here that it's someone calls them the Hime Boys, which translates to the Princess Boys. Because it's not meant to be just on its own that way, but yeah, so the Hime Boys are the new gang of Imperial Ishiyama, which is just everybody gathered up
into a single gang.
Thus, Oga's group has been shunted off to the tennis courts, because that's the only place that they can congregate.
I like how they're playing tennis with the snow everywhere.
Yeah, well, if they're at the tennis courts, why not just play tennis?
Yeah, sure.
As Natsume points out, and Kanzaki agrees.
Well, how could he not?
Yeah.
Are they playing doubles?
They appear to just be batting it back and forth.
Well, except for Oga and Tojo. They look like they're getting kind of into it. But
well, they're actually I think they're fighting, aren't they?
No, they're playing tennis.
They're on the other side of the net from one another.
Okay, I was misinterpreting Tojo's bruises then. I guess those just came from Himikawa.
Yeah. But anyway, so Furuichi is basically talking about how, yeah, he's probably already knows what we're going to do next.
Yeah, he plans out these things ahead. And they all agree that at least this they know this means that Takamiya is a spellmaster. And that he had to have, like, sworn his allegiance to him to get the King's Crest.
Yeah. Which seems like a, you know, reasonable conclusion.
Yeah. So it cuts to Takamiya's gang.
Which, that's a cool two-page spread.
Yeah. Nice shading, good art.
Pool
establishes
table.
Everyone pretty well, yeah.
Lots of booze.
Huh. I didn't see
because they're not all high school students here.
No, they probably all are.
But there's a guy with a mustache, and he's super old.
It says he's a senior.
You've never seen people with mustaches in high school?
Well, he's super old.
Maybe
he could have been
that many times.
Yeah, he probably got held back.
See, I like how. Beelzebub, if you compare Beelzebub to One Piece, this scene with these character introductions would have taken 3 chapters.
Yeah.
Because it would have been everyone got their own page, and then like 3 pages where they're talking to other people.
It's definitely a nicely abridged, quick, here's the highlights.
Yeah.
Let's move along.
So they introduce a Gangoro girl, I guess, similar to Suzume. And they're kind of showing their rankings too. Himekawa was 3. The girl was 5. Ogota Harumi is 2. Then
and we also find out that apparently the numbers can change.
Yeah. Like, they're fluid, depending on their performance, I guess.
Or like Himekawa, how much they are trusted or something.
Yeah. It's basically Takamiya's prerogative.
Yeah.
They show also this tuxedo mask.
That's what I was going to ask about. Is this guy... My first thought is that he's the dude from before that was on the roof. Because he's wearing a mask. He's listed as the observer. He was the one on the phone that was, like, melting Nasu.
Seems possible, yeah.
But then also he has a King's Crest, so who knows? Then they have a junior... Naito Saiji, that's number 6. A psychic, that's number 7. An old guy, like
he's a senior.
Old?
He's a senior.
It's number 8.
Obviously, he's just dyed his hair blonde.
But he has wrinkles and battle scars.
Kids and grow up fast these days.
And then there's just Takamiya, who is a freshman.
It looks kind of like a little sickly almost.
He looks thin, I guess, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
Just wearing a punk flare.
And then he says the numbers don't matter as long as they're useful. And then Oga busts in.
Yes. Which is just, this is the best scene.
Yes.
Just kind of ever. He comes in and he shows the Himekawa card he made.
It says, those glasses belong to me.
It says he's come to get them back. And Himekawa explains, he didn't betray Oga. He only did all this so he can get intel on the Takamiya's group. So for Oga to leave. Then Oga gets flustered and embarrassed and says, let me get out of your way.
Let's just pretend this didn't happen.
Yeah. Himekawa explains, yeah, that's Oga.
He's an idiot.
So we're going to have to take out his friends first.
And, you know, if you want to pull apart the glue that's holding them together, take out Furuichi.
Which, I love this picture of Furuichi, because it's like, it's him smiling with his nose bleeding.
That seems like Furuichi to me.
But yeah, apparently they're going after Furuichi now. Which makes my idea of Furuichi having a King's Crest and having to fight somewhat realistic. Because he swore loyalty.
Yep. I still hope he has number 0, though.
He is the chancellor of Oga's group.
Now the question is, does he have any more of those tissues?
That would be a good... Oh, I think he gave them all to Lamia, didn't he? Or Hilda?
No, but, I mean, he quote-unquote gave them. It's totally possible he could have pocketed one.
Yeah.
Or Hilda will show up and give him...
Fight his battle for him?
No, give him, like, the tissue. Because, you know, she doesn't care if he dies from it.
Obviously, Lamia will protect him.
I like how it's just assumed they're a couple now.
Like, even the manga itself assumes it.
Yeah. Like we know better, but everyone else is like, Furuichi's a pedophile.
Well, of course. Makes perfect sense.
Whatever.
So... I cannot understate how amazingly good that scene was.
Yeah, just the entire how he got rid of Oga nonchalantly.
Like the art of it and the pacing, the paneling, it's all really hilarious. You sometimes forget that Beelzebub is really good at comedic timing.
And this is kind of the quintessential example of it.
Yeah, like especially like We laud so much praise on Ass Class for all the comedic timing it does, but Beelzebub turned out to be a little bit better at this.
I don't know. Ass Class was pretty solid this week. Not with comedy, though, but yeah.
Yeah. So speaking, before that, do we go thoughts, predictions on this?
I currently already said what I think is going to happen.
I'm going to wonder if because Furuichi was basically trying to already think of what Himikawa was going to be doing, whether we might actually get something a little more cerebral with this, where they will be expecting him to go after, to make that recommendation, so they'll have a trap laid.
Yeah, I can see that. Or Oga relays the story of what just happened to Furuichi, who realizes that there's no way that just happened the way he said it did, and maybe leads Himikawa into a trap of some sort.
Thus far, each one of the fights has had something different about how it was carried out, and so I could see this one as being more of a tactical, moving the pieces around sort of thing.
You know what would be really good, like an actual really good movement for this, is if Nene was protecting Furuichi.
Oh.
Because she got hell's a neutered.
Right.
And she should have a crest now.
Yeah. It's like, even if she's not the leader of the Red Tail, she kind of needs to prove that she's not completely useless.
I would be okay with that.
Plus, it would further my shipping of those two.
Oh, you're not a Fu. You're not a Furu.
No, Mei? No, we are not going to combine names.
Fune.
Just stop.
Fune.
Fune. Fu X Ne.
No. So speaking of thing X thing, this week on boobs, boobs.
Oh, come on, you just stole my joke.
I mean, it's a pretty obvious joke, in fairness.
Good
it just
God.
Sort of stared you in the face.
What was hilarious was, when I first read this, I happened to see it right when it got put up, and that page was missing.
Oh.
And so, you know, I was like, okay, and I just, you know, changed the URL, skipped to the next page, and then later went back and saw that one page and just facepalmed.
So Ishin is still inside Misaki, who is
putting
buck
it
naked.
Subtly here.
Yes. And Ishin remarks, wow, it's a lot hollow in here. And Misaki responds by being really energetic and naked.
Yes. I don't know if I've seen something quite like that in Shonen Jump before.
This is, okay, so I brought this up to you, Greg, as the Kenichi line. The line that you cross where it's not actually fan service anymore, it's just straight up nudity.
Well, I think that the entire point is this is supposed to be like a ghost spirit form, so it doesn't have details, which makes all the difference, right?
I feel like those are nipples. I feel like you can pretty clearly see nipples.
Yeah, and that is clearly a nipple. It's not a ghost form bullshit. That's.
But yeah, this is straight up Eric Gear territory at the very least.
Straight up Aero-Gay territory at the moment.
Yeah. And remember, she's in high school and he's a couple hundred years old.
Yep.
Okay, so like, just immediately she's absolutely naked there saying, I want to know your name, and then it goes into a close-up of her mouth opening up.
Well, okay, first I want to go over how crazy abrupt this is.
Okay.
Like, Ishin comes in, remarks that the hollow is really big, slashes it, and then they leave.
Well, I think that was just like establishing that he is, like, his spirit portion, his powers are able to overcome it.
When has Kubo Tete ever been this terse?
When his editor is telling him that...
Yeah. Dude, stop dragging your feet.
I mean, this whole chapter is like that, but I get the feeling that he was told to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Oh, and that boobs.
Yeah, make sure you add boobs.
You need the ratings.
But yeah, she's naked and they're talking and then they leave. And then Ishin's like, oh, I saved her, right? And Orihara's like, yes, you saved her.
Giving peace signs, like he knows exactly what happened.
And then she's sleep talking about how this adult male...
He reacted because he saw her naked.
Yes. Yeah. Which I'm sure is the logical teenage girl reaction to adults seeing them completely naked. So it cuts from there to Ishida. Or Uryu. What was the name of the family? Ishida or Uryu?
Ishida. I think Uryu is his first name.
Okay. The Ishida family of Ishida's father, or Ryu's father, talking with Katagiri. And apparently they've known each other since childhood, when she was, I guess, brought in as a maid.
Servant for the family. You know, she's one of the lesser families, right?
But she's also still a Quincy.
Yeah. Well, she's like a half-breed or something like that. It is diluted.
Yeah. So they're talking, and I guess that's just a setup that I get, what was his name? Ken? Why can't I remember? Ryuken. Falls in love with her. And I guess she's Ryu's mother.
Yeah, that's... I was assuming that she was his mom since the beginning.
And then it just goes to Ishin going narrator on this.
Yep.
And explaining that Masaki was kicked out and Ishin decided to become a doctor and Urahara helped him.
Because you can become a doctor just like nothing.
Hey, and then he has Ryatsu, which he was able to heal people with, which totally applies to medical practice.
And that's why he couldn't be a Shinigami for years and years, because he was too busy keeping the hollow in Misaki subdued. So the part about this that gets me is that clearly at this point we know Ishin has been telling the story.
Yeah.
So how the fuck did he know all that stuff? Because, like, he goes through actual effort to explain why he knows Misaki was kicked out because Ryuken told him. Thus, that's how he knows. Then how did he know about Aizen?
Because Aizen told him, obviously.
Yeah, I asked Aizen about that part. He was like, yeah, we were making hollows. It was weird.
What you gonna do about it? You're not Shinigami anymore.
There's a cute picture where he's describing how much he loved Misaki and that she was the sun and he was orbiting around her.
Yeah.
And there's like a little model of him like orbiting around her centralness.
Yeah, it's a cute panel.
Yeah. And then it finally gets back to Ichigo and Ishin just standing in
their
kitchen. Their
house. Yeah.
Yeah. And Ishin says, "Well, you know the rest." And then immediately starts another story.
Just, you know, doing the recap panels.
Yeah. He wanted to explain that, you know, Ichigo's hollow was always there, and it came out after a while, and this is all Aizen's master plan. Which, did that come up in the Aizen arc?
Towards the end of it, he does have a monologue about how Ichigo's entire life was because of him, sort of thing. But not because of this. It was something else.
Why?
I don't remember the details. I just remember that he has one of those evil overlord speeches.
I have no idea.
I will give Kubo this. The one thing that I didn't make the connection of is that Ishin did not get his powers back when Ichigo's mom died. He got it right after the hollow woke up. So the timing on that actually is consistent.
I mean, yes, but clearly Kubo Tite went back to that and tried to make up a reason.
Yeah. That is entirely... Or... This is one of the other things that he had planted a seed for way back in the day and then is just trying to shove everything together in this one arc.
Way back 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Though the story that Ishin then launches into is how Ichigo's mother died, which I guess it just being Grand Fisher is not important enough?
Yeah, it is not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what this does is totally wipe away any kind of emotional catharsis Ichigo had when he defeated Grand Fisher.
Yeah,
well, Ishin
much.
Defeated him.
Oh
he?
Yeah, that's right. Ichigo beat it, but
Ichigo
didn't kill it.
Got it. Yeah, he saved his sisters from it.
Yeah,
which was a big deal at the time. And then Ishin killed it, which was also a big deal because he killed his wife.
And now
none of that apparently mattered.
And also, apparently, Ichigo, you know, despite being there when it happened, totally misremembered everything.
My fear is this is all... They're going to go too deep into the Aizen grand plan idea, and it's going to be Aizen meant to get captured, and that's always, always a stupid story point.
The first I think the only time that I actually was entertained with, like, it being done well was, The Dark Knight.
Yeah, that was done well because they basically made it clear from the beginning why that he did intend to be captured.
Yeah,
they just didn't know why. I thought it was really stupid in Avengers.
Yeah, no, that one was done poorly. Skyfall was done poorly. I'm expecting the exact same thing to happen in the new Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Like, no, it shows that it's going to literally happen.
Yeah.
And it's not like, maybe it can be done well, but I don't think Kubo Tite is going to be the one to do it well.
Maybe because you're expecting him to do this badly, it will actually turn out being okay.
Or maybe he's just not going to do it, but I get the feeling that Aizen's there by his own choice. Like, he needed Ichigo to defeat him.
He did look smug when we were shown, like, the only image of him post-capture.
Yeah, and he didn't want to get Juha Bak to break him free.
Yeah.
God damn it, this is what's going to happen, isn't it?
Yep. It's totally, yeah.
God damn it. Ugh, Bleach. I mean, boobs.
It could be our fault. Because, you know, like we theorized before, we might be writing Bleach ourselves.
That would be just the best twist if Kubo Tite was just writing whatever he saw on the internet. Like, it would be like that one Bakuman arc, but meant as a gimmick instead of, like, focus testing.
Oh, God.
That would cause some pretty crazy stuff if you'd like, all right, whatever the people on 2chan think is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't know. Like, you just, at the very last issue, that's what you explain? That this whole thing has been a social experiment?
That would make it the best manga ever.
I was listening to the worst ideas you guys ever had. And then you keep on coming up with worse ones.
Just wanted to see if you would actually consume this crap.
Whenever I took a break, that was giving myself a break because I couldn't take it anymore.
It turns out democracy is the worst way to make a manga.
Surprise, surprise.
All right, so enough about bad manga.
Yes.
On to good manga in Assassination Classroom.
Which incredible was amazing manga. This week.
So where it picked up, or where it left off last time, is that Takaoka had challenged Kurosuma to a one-on-one with one of his students to prove that if Kurosuma's student loses and can't stab Takaoka, then, or at least get close to him with a knife, then Kurosuma's method of teaching doesn't work, and no one will ever question Takaoka again. So Kurosuma chose Nagisa because he has a killer instinct that he felt once.
Seems as good a reason as any, right?
Yep.
Also because he's the protagonist who has not had a time to shine yet.
Which, we've always talked about how Nagisa had never really had a... He never really met the protagonist role. That the manga was always about Kuro-sensei. And the term I've heard used for Nagisa is he's a deuteragonist, which is the second person in a manga, or the second most important character. Which seems to apply fairly well to him. He's not... Kuro-sensei is not really, you know, an antagonist. He's not really a second banana. All that stuff would fit Nagisa better, but...
Well, I think we're also using protagonist and antagonist wrong in that the protagonist is not necessarily the good guy and the antagonist is not necessarily the villain. It's a protagonist is the one who drives the plot and the antagonist is the one who gets in their way.
Right. And Nagisa, until now, has not really driven the plot.
No.
He's been the 3CPO of this manga. He's just sort of followed the plot around, and while he's been involved, he hasn't really... It's not him at the wheel.
Yes.
Does that make Girl Nagisa R2-D2?
Well, Girl Nagisa has... Yes. Girl Nagisa has her own little thing in this chapter, too, that we'll get to in a second. But I think this is... He is very masterfully moving Nagisa from the cipher to a character.
Yes. And I also liked on one of the early pages, the in-joke panel of his constitution and strength are equal to a girl's, you know, like...
Yeah. I am positive the mangaka is aware of this joke now.
Telling you, he listens to us, right? He is the guy who consumes all of Western culture.
I'm positive. If you listen to this... Make a joke about what's a good meme that he could use that's not shitty.
Well, you asked for a meme that's not shitty, so...
Yeah.
Well, honestly, the only meme that's not shitty that's recent that I can think of is actually a Japanese one, that being all of the openings to Attack on Titan.
But, make an Attack on Titan joke in the next 8 weeks. Well, then we'll know for sure if he listens to this podcast.
I'm really hoping that that happens now just by coincidence, just because it'd be hilarious.
I mean, there's one meme that I know has just recently popped up. It's like, you know, the neighbor of the guy who like kidnapped all those girls in Cleveland.
Oh yes, and about how the entire thing about how he knew something was wrong because a white girl was running towards a black guy.
Right. And he's like, dead giveaway, man. Dead giveaway.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't see that interview, Imran?
I did not.
Oh, it's amazing. he specifically goes into this entire thing about how he knew something was wrong because a white girl was running towards a black man.
Yeah. So
manga.
Yes.
So Takaoka is having all these fantasies about how Nagisa can't kill him. Like, he'll be too afraid. Because if he does, he'll go to jail, and there's a nice little panel of, like, Nagisa crying as he's being handcuffed.
I like the
staring at the knife and looking out the window.
And, Bitch Sensei is questioning Kurosawa's decision that Nagisa can't possibly do this. And Koro Sensei understands, because he's Koro Sensei, that Nagisa's the only one that can do this.
So then he gives him a little bit of coaching, you know.
Yeah. And people, the students are questioning among themselves, like, is Nagisa the right decision? He can't really do that. And girl Nagisa has this weird look of concern on her face. Like, she knows.
Like, there's something, like, giving him the knife is not necessarily a good idea.
Yeah. Like, oh god, what did you guys do?
Like, they even have the giant spread where, you know, she is given a prominent role in it.
Yeah.
Yep. At some point, we actually do need to learn her name instead of just calling her girl Nagisa.
No, we don't. No. We really, really don't. Is anyone confused about who we talk about when we say that?
I bet even the mangaka is like, yeah, girl Nagisa.
I'm pretty sure he is, too.
Especially with that cover page.
Yeah. But so Takaoka is like taunting Nagisa and telling him to come on because he knows Nagisa can't do anything and this is going to be over quickly.
And they show a brutal panel of Takaoka just beating the punching crap out of Nagisa.
Like, there's blood on his knuckles and Nagisa's begging for his life.
And he has this huge grin on his face.
Yeah. Dude's fucking crazy.
Yep.
This was the panel that made me think that this series might not get a manga.
Or an anime?
Yes, sorry.
Well, this chapter in general is why I don't think it's going to get an anime.
I really hope it does, though.
Stab your teacher. Trust me, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean,
we're endorsing it.
If just the Bakuman arc taught us anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine with Koro-sensei because he's an alien, he's abstract. It's not the same thing as, like, a person that's kind of a jerk.
I can still see it getting an anime just aired late at night.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to, like, I think if, however they handle this, it's going to be, maybe they're just going to make it an anti-Koro-sensei knife.
Could be, yeah.
Just change that one thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That kind of changes the... Well, I guess they could just ignore that. Whatever.
I mean, have you seen some of the changes they made to, like, Ice Shield 21?
Nope.
Nope.
There was a character who, in the manga, he was the American football coach, like, of the American team. And he had this whole thing. Like, he hated black people because they were naturally superior. So he wouldn't play the black person. Then, in the anime, they changed it to he wouldn't play him because his legs are longer.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's weird that they changed that for the anime.
So I don't think they're, like, if they have to make a change to get this on air in, like, a marketable time slot, they probably will.
Yeah, I could see that.
But so Takaoka still being all smug about Nagisa shaking with the knife and how he can't hold it like a killer would.
And he can't wait to see his face go pale when he realizes that it's a real, weapon. And then Nagisa looks at it and is like, this is a real knife. I'm a bit lost about how I should move with it.
Yeah. And Nagisa remembers the only thing that actually matters. He doesn't need to fight him and win. He just needs to kill him. Which is in combination with the next page is super creepy and grim.
Yeah. So he'll smile, approach him by walking normally, as if he were walking to school. And just, like, I like the fading of him coming out of the fighting stance to just nonchalantly walking.
Yeah.
And it matches up with the bottom panels.
Yep. And then he just, you know, like, runs into his arm.
And flips him over. Or he may not, or he swipes at his face, which causes him to go off balance.
Yeah.
Because he did not expect that, nor did he feel, or expect the killing intent that Nagisa had there.
Yeah.
And so Nagisa grabs his clothes and tugs on the back of his shirt, and then tackles him. Which is represented by, like, a python.
Yeah, I also like the, it was the first time that Takaoka seemed to realize that he was about to be killed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, so good.
I love the facial reactions he has, because it reminds me so much of, like, 80s and 70s horror manga.
Right.
Like he generally looks like he's terrified. And so that's super well.
Just like
also like the small panel of Bitch Sensei just with her mouth completely agape right next to Koro Sensei while this is going on.
Yeah, Koro's just smiling, even though someone's very likely about to be killed.
Yeah.
Like, this is awesome. And so Nagisa has the serrated edge of the knife against Takaoka's throat. And he says, gotcha, because he won. Everyone looks shocked.
With his tongue out. Like, yeah. A playful gotcha. Not even, like, serious.
This is a talent which would absolutely never be discovered during the course of a normal school life.
Yeah. He discovers that Nagisa has a talent for assassination. Which, to their credit, they don't play this as this amazing heroic thing. Everyone's genuinely unnerved by this.
Yeah.
Like, Nagisa couldn't win in a fight, but he could just straight up kill somebody pretty easily.
Yeah. Be completely unassuming and slip in there and kill them. And I also like the last panel. Was I not supposed to use the back of the blade?
It shows what a decent concept this manga has. That on one hand, these guys are the heroes, technically. They should be encouraged to be killers. But everyone's sort of realizing what that means.
Yeah,
they're drawing out the killing intent of people.
Wait, are his eyes open?
Who, Takaoka's?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're pointing. He has his fingers on his eyeball.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Super terrified. But I mean, on one hand, that's also really great comeuppance for him. That he got taken down by Nagisa.
Well, let's be fair. I think that given what we just saw, a lot of people would be capable of being taken down by Nagisa.
Yeah, but he didn't see it coming.
Oh, it's even great that there's a snake pattern behind Nagisa in the final panel.
Ha! Huh. This manga is so good.
But seriously, yeah, fantastic chapter.
Yep.
So now, where the hell is it going to go after this?
I think Karasuma is going to try to foster this part of Nagisa.
Or maybe not.
Because even he realizes that he's going to ruin his life if he does that?
No.
Well, I don't know.
He'll just become Bitch Sensei's partner.
Like, well, that's actually what I was thinking. I was thinking
the femme fatales.
I was thinking Bitch Nesu, whatever.
Yeah.
Bitch Sensei's master would show up and say, hey, you got a pretty good guy there.
But yeah, this arc is, I'm guessing, over now.
Yeah, like I could maybe see a reference to what happened to him in the aftermath, but I'm not seeing this teacher sticking around.
Yeah.
I think an immediate follow-up.
Yeah, Karasuma's gonna pack his bags or Takaoka's gonna pack his bags, and Karasuma will take back over.
And he'll probably have even more of a moral dilemma, like, what am I teaching these kids? Holy crap.
I just want to state, though, that this is fucking amazing. Like, as a chapter, we all knew Nagisa was going to somehow win. I didn't think it would just be straight up winning. Like, I didn't think he would just outskill him.
Right.
But I really liked his manga, so.
Yeah. Chapter of the week.
I don't know about that. Maybe, probably, but the next one actually has a bit of competition for that. As yeah. we move on to Naruto.
Which I think caught all of us a bit off guard.
Because parallels.
Because fuck parallels.
So when we left it last time, the Ten Tails was creating hell on Earth. And blasted everybody, who's miraculously survived because Kyuubi Chakra.
Well, of course.
But now Naruto is completely out of gas. He has no more chakra, and I guess he's out of the tailed beast combination chakra, too.
So what's that middle panel where it has the Rinnegan staring behind him?
The Sage of Ten Paths?
I guess, but...
Because the panel above that is all the tailed beasts. So I guess they're trying to show that he's the only one since then to actually have that power.
I guess. Because yeah, I was confused by that panel, so...
Well, I mean, it's kind of open to interpretation, but he was the last one to face the Ten Tails in this form. And he was the one who sealed him. So, that makes sense to me. So a bunch of ninja get in front of Naruto to block their way as Sakura tries to heal him up.
I have to say, I don't think that, you know, those guys in front of him would do a whole lot if he chose to attack right then.
Well, Hinata's leading the way. So I'm assuming there's going to be something.
Right, but there are a whole bunch of nobodies, and so they're clearly... Like
the row of bodies in front
they're
of
them. They're red shirts. Yeah. If anyone survives, it'll be Hinata. But I don't know, Hyuga's die pretty easily. So they go back to Kakashi and Obito, who have Sharingan'd each other into that negative world. Which, I don't actually know where that is, or they ever explained what that is.
No, it's just some place.
Yeah.
It's like a concept of the mind thing.
So Kakashi gets the drop on Obito and is about to Raikiri him through the chest.
The face.
Yeah, well, he immediately stops because he can't pull the trigger.
And Obito points out that he's had a number of opportunities where he could have killed him, but he doesn't.
Well, Kakashi wants to know what his motivations are, and if maybe, since Naruto is so much like Obito was as a kid, because parallels, that if Obito would reconsider it, or maybe he's just testing Naruto or something, and Obito just sort of laughs at him. And, like, shoves his Raikiri through his chest. Through his own chest, rather.
Yeah.
Because he does not give a shit about the parallels.
He's this always known.
Yeah. He's known about why Kakashi had to kill Rin. Because, apparently, when Mist captured her way back when... That they made her the Jinchuriki of the Three Tails, the weird tentacle thing. And their plan was to let Kakashi capture her back, then she'll just go crazy inside Konoha and destroy the village. So, for some reason, okay, I don't exactly understand why the Mist soldiers ambushed them.
Well, no, they were saying that it was to make it look real, basically, and to hurry them along the way.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Especially but, because, you know, Rin is aware yeah, she knows that what's going she's on. The Jinchuriki.
And she's fully cognizant of his plan.
Yeah.
And they totally died. He killed them, so these guys were, like, okay, on the chance that he's a little bit suspicious.
Do you think that, like, when Kakashi ended up killing Rin, everyone was like, shit!
Oh!
It's for months, and Jesus, why didn't we think of that?
I'm going home!
Why didn't she just kill herself? None of this makes sense. But Rin is begging Kakashi to kill her, and Kakashi's like, no, I made a promise to Obito. That I'm not going to kill you. And So during the fight with the rain or mist or whatever Nin behind them, they Rin leaps in front of one of Kakashi's Rakiri and takes it to the
Impales
chest.
herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what we saw in Obito's flashback when he saw Kakashi kill Rin. So that was his reasons. And Kakashi,
And
he's
actually, if
surprised.
you think about it, Kakashi did not kill those rain ninja. They were just trying to hurry them along.
Yeah,
And it
Obito
was,
killed.
yeah, which I don't think was according to plan. Just possibly.
But it also meant that nobody really knew what happened there,
So the plan
which I
got
think is
even the even went even more to shit.
basically they're not good ninjas.
Like, oh, she killed
They're not
herself,
good at making plans.
and oh God, this other guy is just coming out of nowhere and killing us all.
Yeah, so Obito knew about this the entire time. He never misinterpreted the situation. He knew that Kakashi killed Rin because she was a ticking time bomb and it was really her fault. But
And then he goes crazy.
well, he's been crazy. His point is he doesn't give a shit
Which is
that,
fantastic.
yeah, that the world had, like, that Rin could die in this world was what drove him crazy. Not that Kakashi killed her. That there was a world where this was allowed to
Yeah,
happen.
we're this well, that there was a world where circumstances could come to something like this.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any like grieving feelings about Rin because Rin would never die like that. He doesn't have any grieving feelings about Kakashi because the real Kakashi would never have let something like that happen to Rin. And he pulls Kakashi's arm out of his chest and shows him that he no longer feels pain and he's completely hollow inside, which turns out to be quite literal. That there's just a big hole that Kakashi's just like staring through.
Which,
The
that's kind of a
11th
messed
Hokage.
up thing to do to yourself, because I don't think he'll be standing for much longer.
Well, yeah, because that's the that well, no, that's not the side of the body that was crushed.
Maybe he just has nothing inside him, like, at
Yeah.
all.
It does not. Now that I think about it, that's actually a kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Unless, like, he got crushed some other weird way, but that's what, like, maybe he's just one half of a head.
I can see
I could,
that. Yeah.
We've already seen, an arm grafted on. Although I guess
Yeah.
he did freebase him, so.
But I like how Kishimoto actually took the themes of Naruto, which were parallels and things aren't always what you think they are, and basically turned them into the villain saying, I don't care. Like, that doesn't matter. I have my own motivations.
This wind hole wasn't your doing.
That's unfortunate wording, but.
No, that's why Kakashi's looking at him like that. It's like you couldn't think of a better word.
Also, his element is lightning. Wait, that is wind, isn't it? No.
No.
Is lightning its own element?
Yes.
They dropped elements hard and fast.
Yeah, no, that there was only the five of them, and lightning is one.
Okay. And lightning can be used by fire, but something, something.
I don't remember.
Fire beats wind. Whatever, it was just to set up that Naruto isn't naturally superior to Sasuke. That was the only point of that whole thing.
Was so he could, invigorate his fire with his wind.
Yeah, something like that. Some sexual innuendo that they kind of glossed over. So I don't know how this is going to go at this point, because apparently Kakashi cannot kill Obito. But this is where they had their man-to-man talk. We've had the Rin revelation now, which I think means every major mystery in Naruto has been solved.
I think so.
Except maybe what Orochimaru is doing.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility of something else going wrong. But everything they've alluded to that we didn't actually know the details of, I think we've gotten clarification on everything, including clarification sometimes we didn't want, like Uchiha loved too much and they got brain problems. I wonder if this is going to happen to Sasuke eventually, that he goes actually hollow.
They love so much that their entire being goes hollow.
Yep. Hollows. All right, so thoughts, predictions.
I think we're going to stick with this for two more chapters before it goes back to the main fight.
I actually think it'll go back to the main fight, and then we'll come back to this.
Yeah, I think next week they're gonna have to introduce the Hokages. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that Kakashi dies here. I mean, it would make he's gotten basically all of his big confrontations out of the way.
I don't know. It just wouldn't feel good. Like in the pain arc, like when he was gonna die, that felt a lot more real. Now that he might die here, it seems lesser.
I think him dying extolling the virtues of the new generation and how Obito should listen to them and watch them might make more sense than like him going out there. 'Cause I mean, obviously Obito's not gonna die here.
I don't know. Well, no, I guess he can't because Kakashi wouldn't be able to get out otherwise.
No, he could still get out with his own Sharingan, couldn't he?
I don't know. Has he ever used it on himself?
Not that I know of, but they didn't really establish this whole teleportation thing until this arc.
True.
Do they have any mirrors in this world?
Well, it is apparently a level from Catherine, so who knows? But yeah, I think there's a legitimate chance Kakashi will die in this room. Maybe not guaranteed, but. And I also think the Hokages will come back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that one's been left lying on the ground for a while now.
And Hiroshima even mentions it, or not Hiroshima, Madara, that he's found something more interesting now, which clearly means first Hokage.
Yeah, oh, sorry, the Hokages. I thought you were talking about the other Kages.
No, I meant the Edo Tensei Hokages. All
Yeah.
right then.
Yeah.
Well,
Come with
we
Naruto.
need to see the other Kages at some point too, soon too. They've
Maybe.
been out of it for a while now.
I'm sure they'll come at some point. They already lost to Madara. What are they gonna do?
Lose harder.
So speaking of losers, on One Piece's cover arc picks back up with
Caribou.
Caribou, that's his name. That he's discovered he that the old woman's grandson was that revolutionary they saw before that looks like him.
Which, amazing.
Which is why they're burning down her house.
Yeah. And
Still
everybody
don't
should
care
care
about it.
about this.
Nope. Fuck Caribou. So this week's One Piece was half interesting and half boring.
Yeah, it was a little lackluster.
The old guy whose name I've forgotten, Dao Chin Jiao. He is convinced that Lucy is Luffy because he's not an idiot.
What are you talking about? Lucy doesn't sound anything like Luffy.
And Luffy keeps trying to like he keeps answering any question he gets asked from Dao Chin Jiao about Garp, while then reiterating that he's Lucy. And Cavendish figures it out too that, hey, that's Luffy, I need to kill him.
And then
And tries.
Chin Zhao starts going nuts.
He goes Super Saiyan, basically.
Yeah. Well, he starts headbutting things because apparently he has the strongest head.
Yeah, and he had a bounty of over 500 million, so he was a super strong pirate.
And
And so
then.
Cavendish decides, since he needs to kill Luffy himself, he's going to stop Dao Chin Jiao. And takes one of his legendary swords and pokes it right through or at his head.
Yeah, it's a he has
Durandal.
a Durandal.
Yeah. But it only matches the force. It doesn't actually like go through him. So they're all the three of them are fighting before eventually Dao Chin Jiao's group stops him and says, it doesn't matter if it's Luffy or not, we're all in the same block. You'll get to fight him eventually.
Yeah, and they don't want to be what's it called? Disqualified.
Yeah. But I would have liked to see it. Cavendish and Lucy versus Dao Chin Jiao would have been a really interesting and cool fight that they immediately just cut short.
Well, I'm sure it'll be revisited soon enough.
Yeah, but I'm looking for interest in now.
Here's the
Because
thing, is this arc is kind of losing focus a bit.
Yeah, that there's too many people.
Yeah. Which is what I was saying, that, like, does anyone really care that Jeet and Abdullah are winning B block?
Nope.
Like, at all? Why is this not over yet? More importantly, why do we need to still see it? And the King's still charging, the Bruce Lee guy is still kicking, Bartolomeo is still trolling.
Although, I did enjoy the stuff with Bellamy, where he took out some guys, was pretty brutal,
yeah, he took out
honestly.
Jeet and Abdullah.
Yeah.
By, like, cracking their necks over his shoulder.
Stabbing them
and,
in the feet.
And I enjoyed the bit at the end with Bartolomeo.
Where he's peeing off into the water border outside.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to say what I think his fruit power is. I think that he has a fruit which reflects any damage that would be done to him to the person who was going to do it.
I think he's got something pretty, like, Gaara-like. That it just protects him no matter... He doesn't even really have to pay attention.
Well, I'm thinking that the entire reason that he is as much of a jerk as he is because he needs to antagonize people into attacking him in order to damage them.
That would make sense.
Which will either get used destroyed. On the giant...
Yeah.
So either the giant punch will be rebounded from Bellamy with spring power, or it'll reflect the damage from Bartolomeo.
But yeah, the fishman guy that said he knew Jinbei decides to punch Bartolomeo, and his hand basically explodes against a force field near him. And everyone's like, what are you, Bartolomeo? I'm guessing Bellamy's just gonna, like, pick him up and drop him.
Seems reasonable. Seems
with
like the easiest way to handle
it. Not.
Maybe with his pants up?
Because it just has to be the worst insult.
B block is boring. Like, this is maybe a little bit more interesting, but...
But this has been going on for too long.
Like, the Cavendish Luffy stuff was better.
Yeah.
So, for them to just tease it for a little bit, then immediately drop it, was more frustrating than it should have been.
You know, honestly, yeah. I'm ready to get back to the stuff that the rest of the crew is doing.
Yeah. I mean, they'll get to that eventually, but then they're going to kind of run that into the ground and then move on to somebody else and then run that into the ground. This is my fear of these... When they split up like this, that's what I fear from One Piece. That it doesn't know how to properly pace itself sometimes.
And unfortunately, it seems like more and more of late, they get split up all the time.
Yeah.
And they just have so many things going on. Like, obviously...
Well, even, in this case, it's not even the things going on, it's just so many characters that we don't give a crap about.
Yeah, like, they only gave the King one or two panels, but still, that's more... than he really needs. Like, the Bruce Lee guy is not going to win the tournament. Why do I care that he's there? I mean, at this point, maybe the Bartolomeo stuff will be interesting, but it's going to be Bellamy. Bellamy's going to be the one who moves on.
I don't know. I'm still not sure whether it's going to end up being they're using Bellamy as a power establishment for Bartolomeo or not. And, I mean, the one thing that you can think of is that there are the four emperors, and it's possible that you could have one person move on from each one of the brackets, or each one of the battle royales that's affiliated with one of the emperors, so to speak. So Luffy is with...
Shanks.
Shanks. So one of the people with numbers on them could would be... If our speculation is right about what's his name about Kaido, and then somebody who happens to be an affiliate of Big Mom, or they could do something along those lines too, because we already have one for Blackbeard.
At this point, I don't care what they're doing as long as they just go ahead and do it. You know, like One Piece's pacing is falling apart,
and it's an accelerated tournament arc, but there's like. Five other storylines happening at the same time.
Yeah.
See, the thing about DBZ is they'd always match the tournament fights, the ones that they actually show, with characters you know and care about. And so I would maybe care about this one if the armored chick was in it, or a Cavendish, or something else, but they made this entire block just completely free of any established character already.
Well, other than Bellamy, who most
Well,
people I don't think care about.
yeah, I mean, Bellamy was a one-time loser that showed up to get jawed by Luffy. And now he's back, and are we supposed to care?
I don't know. I thought it was interesting, but
I think it's interesting he's back, but I don't want to spend multiple issues on him.
yeah.
Right. Fun fact, the Karate Fishman's stances and punches are all correct with
Yeah,
karate.
he's
Like,
using karate.
yeah.
And then his hand, like, I'm not understanding, his hand exploded. It's a bloody mess with all the fingers broken and the wrist broken.
Yeah, it's not good shape.
Nope.
I keep looking for the elephant in the crowd shots.
That
Because he makes me
elephant's the
happy.
greatest.
They had a toy in the one of them in this one.
Not as good.
Yeah, One Piece is kind of boring this week.
Yeah, a bit lackluster.
Hopefully it'll pick up eventually, because when One Piece brings it brings it hard. It's the highs of One Piece are probably the best of anything we cover, much less anything we read. It's
Yeah.
just when it starts to meander is when it gets really out there. And it does enjoy its meandering. But yeah. Thoughts, predictions?
I think next chapter will deal more with B Block.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Well, that was supposed to be sarcastic, but it didn't come off that way.
Well, I don't know. We want to get it over with.
I mean, we do, but how easy would it be to just end it? Bellamy could springboard everyone off right now.
They hyped up the king too much.
Yeah.
He has to punch.
He's gonna punch Bartolomeo, obviously.
Ooh,
Yeah.
that's not gonna go well.
He's going to explode.
And then that knocks everybody off of the arena.
Except for Bellamy, who sprung up to the top.
I'd be okay with that.
And if they can just do that next chapter and then end it, and you're golden. That'd be a satisfying ending to this, because we've already established what Bartolomeo is, we've established what the king is, we've established what everybody can do, now they just need to do it.
Yeah, just need to end it.
Yeah. Like, we talk about that Takaoka thing from Assassination Classroom. Grand scheme of things, that was four chapters. And yet it did more for the characters than One Piece has done in 10.
Oof. Hey, Ken. Do.
I mean, more like that's the number I pulled out of my ass, but yeah.
I mean, Tanigo was when Doflamingo arrived at the island, Fire and
When
Ice
it
Island.
and it like it set up some cool stuff with Aokiji and then immediately just
Right.
stopped. Like somebody hit the brakes on that manga. Oh well, I like One Piece. I don't like it when it's like this.
Yeah.
My prediction is that we'll see B block and then it'll cut to a crew member thing. Just because that's not what I want to happen, and
I
it probably will.
could see that. Oh well. I guess we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this has been your Thursday, May 9th jump cast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank
We'll
you.
see you all next week.
Should have used my hipster whiteness picture. just for the hell of it.